Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. On 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. With Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
It's value always, especially when it comes to me being who I am when I'm doing it. So I'm open to it. I'm always gonna do what the team needs. And then also like just me knowing who I am as a person at the game and why I'm gonna want the ball anyway. So that's just probably a comment that I probably could have kept to myself for real, but it is what it is. I said it. I meant what I said, but I'm also a team player and coach and the team need me to do something, I'm gonna do it for sure.
That was Kayson Nixon talking about, maybe I will return kicks this year after he said at the end of last season that he was done in that kick return business. He softened his stance on that a little bit. It is time for your Green and Gold update where we give you the latest on your Green Bay Packers. And joining me to help do that this afternoon, he is the co-founder of the Leap Packers newsletter. Welcome in Jason Hirshhorn. Jason, how are you this afternoon, my man?
Have a fantastic start to my Friday, Rami.
What did you make of Kayson Nixon changing his tune as far as returning kicks? I remember I was filling in for Sparky right after he made those comments, and I was like, man, first of all, you got to be really good in this NFL to dictate where and when you play. And I don't know that Kayson Nixon is quite on that level, as good as he's been as a cornerback. And secondly, that's a lot of value lost on the special teams. If one of the best returners in the league, as much as onside kicks are a part of the game today, if one of the best returners in the league is just like, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore.
In the moment that Kayson Nixon made those comments, it seems at least plausible that he was caught up in the moment and that maybe this is something that he or the team or both were going to reverse course on later in the process. And here we are, obviously, at a point where Nixon is talking about, yeah, if they want me to return kicks, I will return kicks. That sounds great. I think it is also the case that this may not really be decided. He has been one of the best kick returners in the NFL over the past three seasons. It is also true now that the Packers have more alternatives in that role than they've had in recent memory. You have Nixon. You have Mecole Hardman if you were to make the roster. Jaden Reed has worked in that role more on punts than kickoffs, but he could do that. And there are also those rookies. I think that's the big part of this. What if Matthew Golden or Savion Williams shows a lot of potential in that role? And what if, let's say, Jaire Alexander and the Packers don't reach that reconciliation, and now Kayson Nixon is going to be one of their primary starting corners? Well, maybe it makes more sense to have Nixon play his snaps on defense, maybe use him situationally on kickoffs when I was their main guy, and have one of those other younger players who may not have as big of a workload handle those roles. So I don't think this is totally settled, but I do think it's worth, as you pointed out, saying that, yeah, Nixon is at least going to be part of that conversation going into training camp.
Do you think he, on his own softened his stance on it, or do you think Matt LaFleur or somebody else in the Packers organization was like, hey man, you're going to return kicks if we tell you to return kicks, and you should go out there and tell the media that before they just find out watching you on the practice field?
I don't really know that his stance really changed that much. I know the wording definitely did.
Right.
But, you know, one of those is coming after a playoff loss, and it could be sort of a signal to the team like, hey, I would rather just be a defensive player, and the team basically doesn't change their approach. No, we see you as a defensive player and a kick returner. And at that point, if you're Keyshawn Nixon, what are you going to do? You are not just playing for this upcoming season. Obviously, he will be on the roster, health permitting, but he may be in line for a contract extension if things go really well. So you want to stay in their good graces. And I think at that point, you don't really have any other choices but to say, yeah, I'm going to go along with the program.
One of the things that, sort of raised an eyebrow for me at minicamps this week was we all know that the Packers' pass rush was a problem last year, and one of the guys who just wasn't playing at the level that Packers fans had gotten used to seeing was Kenny Clark, and he revealed to you guys that he was hurting a little bit more than maybe he let on during the season last year.
Yeah, and it's not that Kenny Clark never appeared in an injury report, but according to him, he got a toe injury in the season opener in Brazil and had to have surgery on that toe after the season, which was seemed to indicate that it was a pretty bad injury. Now, Clark has had or is coming off of the worst season of his career, or at least the worst season since his rookie year. I don't know that the toe injury can account for all of that, but it's that injury. It's changing the defensive scheme, going from what they were doing under Joe Barry to what they are doing now under Jeff Hafley. You throw all those things in and you have to say, oh, there might be a lot of contributing factors to why Kenny Clark didn't play as well in 2024. And maybe those are also reasons why Clark could play better, maybe not in his peak form, but better than he did last year in 2025. And it's also worth noting, he's not the only defensive lineman who basically came out and said, yeah, I was dealing with an injury. Lucas Van Ness, a player who the Packers spent the 13th overall pick on, so that he was dealing maybe more with a hand injury than he let on at the time. So that, again, doesn't explain all of the issues they had along the defensive line and all the issues they had rushing the passer on a consistent basis. But those are bits of data that we can use to say, oh, maybe there are reasons to say that this group as a whole, without any major acquisition, could perform better in the upcoming season.
Do you think that factored into the Packers' decision not to really add to that defensive line or that pass rush, either through free agency or in the draft? That they knew these guys were going to be healthy and better players next year?
I think it probably made them feel better about the way it ended up playing out, but I don't know that they went into the offseason not planning to make an addition. You know, a couple days before free agency, there were a handful of capable pass rushers that looked like they were going to hit the market. And then in that 24-hour period before the legal tampering window opened, a bunch of those guys resigned. So if you're the Packers, maybe you had your eye on one of those guys. Well, now you have to pivot your plan here. So it could be the case that the Packers really did want to add someone and weren't able to, and they're now going in with essentially the same group they had a year ago, but there are still reasons to think that group going into year two under Jeff Hafley with a new defensive line coach, another important caveat here, that they could get as a team a more consistent pass rush, even if the personnel hasn't moved in any meaningful way.
Talking with Jason Hirschhorn of the Leap Packers newsletter here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Rami Makhlouf in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. There's a couple of contract situations concerning Packers offensive linemen I wanted to address with you, Jason. First of all, Zach Tom is at camp or at voluntary workouts despite not getting the new deal. Is that something that they're working towards? And do you think he's going to get like top right tackle money? Because it sounds like that's what he's after.
I think he's going to get something pretty close to that, yeah. And there had been talk at various points in the offseason, well, maybe the Packers aren't going to keep him at right tackle. Maybe he's going to have to compete for that right tackle job. He's coming off of a very good season, but maybe they think that he could be better somewhere else. And then you get to OTAs, and it's just him at right tackle with the ones, more or less. And it's very clear from both the way that the general manager has spoken about him and most recently the head coach that he has settled in at right tackle, that's going to be his job. And it makes sense. He's coming off not just his best season or one of his best seasons, but one of the better seasons of any off or right tackle in the NFL. There are areas in which he can improve, which is true for a lot of young players, but he's really solidified that spot. You, for the most part, don't have to worry as the Packers about that right tackle position when he is healthy and on the field. And those players get rewarded. Look at the offensive lineman in this free agent class, this one that we just saw. Aaron Banks was an above-average starter, but nowhere close to, you know, destroyer of worlds at that guard position. And now he's one of the more highly paid guards in the league. If Zach Tom were to make it to free agency next offseason, he is going to blow out the market. So if you're the Packers, it makes sense to get him to sign a deal this offseason rather than waiting into next offseason when...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Perhaps you could use the franchise tag, but then you're already paying him tackle money. It just makes sense to get that deal done as soon as possible. Tom being in or at OTAs and, you know, presumably going to be in minicamp as well, signals that he is comfortable with the way things are going, and that will probably get results in the not-too-distant future. You know, there's another starting offensive lineman for which that may not be the case, but with Tom, I don't think there's a lot for Packers fans to worry about.
Nice lead-in, Jason. Very well done, sir, because the next question I wanted to ask you about was Elgton Jenkins, and he is not participating in the voluntary workouts, and I understand why. That seems like a trickier situation with, first of all, he's a little bit more established and I think a little bit has a better case of asking for the money. He has, I think, only a year left on his contract, if I remember correctly, what I read this morning, Jason. And he's making a position change and wants to make sure that he's taken care of before he does that for the Green Bay Packers. How far apart are those two sides?
So you listed a lot of factors there, and I think they're all relevant. The position change, I don't think, is as much of a concern in terms of Elgton Jenkins' ability to perform. He has played center at various points in his career. He's been a starting center for the Packers at times. He also played center primarily in college, so it's not a position with which he is not comfortable. However, centers, generally speaking, get paid less than a comparably good like guard
right.
or tackle. So if you're Elgton Jenkins and his representatives, and you're going into the second to last year of his contract, that being 2025, and you know that next offseason the Packers could, if they wanted to, move on from Elgton Jenkins and save about $20 million in cap space, you have some questions, right? Like, would the Packers consider another contract for Elgton Jenkins, whether he's at guard or otherwise? Because they have not been very willing to give third contracts to players with extremely limited exceptions. You basically have to be a superstar quarterback or perennial All-Pro for them to seriously consider a third contract like that. So you're already kind of wondering what your future is with the team even before the position change. But when you add that factor in, if you're going to hypothetically go into the 2026 offseason market, having just played center, your options in terms of money are going to be a little more limited, at least likely to be so. So Jenkins wants to get something done with his contract. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a long-term extension, but something where there is more money coming to him or more money that is going to be guaranteed in the future. to make it less likely that the Packers are going to move on from him, or if they were to, he'd be able to be better compensated for it. That is certainly a possibility. And again, he has not missed anything mandatory to this point. If he were to not show up for mandatory minicamp, or if he were to show up and do one of those hold-in situations where he is in the building but he is not participating in the on-field work for non-injury reasons, that's when this could get a little hairier. But as of right now, he's still a player who has not missed a single mandatory piece of the offseason program, and I think that's worth pointing out as well.
Jason, what's the deal with Jaire Alexander?
That is a very good question, and I think we'd all like to know what the answer to it is. Because as we have been discussing, not even just this offseason, I mean, this goes back really to the end of the 2023 season, there's just always something a little off about, not Jaire Alexander as a person, but about his relationship with the Packers. You know, he gets suspended late in that 2023 season when they're making the playoff push. They ended up not losing a game because of that, but they easily could have, right? And then you go into this offseason after he's missed a bunch of games again. This has been a repeated issue for him. And it's not really clear at this point how the Packers feel about it. If you were just going off what they've said publicly, let's say the first 3 or so months of the offseason, you would think, oh, it's a fait accompli. He is not coming back to Green Bay. But now that they're not just after free agency, or at least the first wave of free agency, but after the draft, and they didn't make a meaningful addition outside of Nate Hobbs to that group, you're thinking, yeah, it actually does seem like he might come back under some kind of rework deal, whatever that means, you know, maybe reduced total value with incentives added on to bring it up to something more if he plays all the games or something close to it. We're speculating on that part, but the point is, it's really unclear what's going to happen right now with the Packers and Alexander. If you had asked me 2 months ago, I would have said, almost certainly he's not back with the team. I just don't know if he's traded or he's released. Now, you know, I would believe almost anything. You tell me that he's back on his current contract. I can't totally discount that. Somebody's going to be back on a rework deal. We've seen that reported that the Packers offered one, so that seems possible. If you told me that he's still someone who's going to get traded, I can't rule that out either. So with Alexander, until we get something definitive from the Packers, I think you have to keep your mind open to any of these possibilities because it's just not set in stone yet.
I saw last week Matt LaFleur said that he took issue with any notion that Jordan Love regressed last year in his second year as a starter. Warren Sharp was on with Sparky a few days. Really good interview. I encourage people to go check it out on the Odyssey app using the Rewind feature. And he laid out some metrics and analytics that would say that any regression in Jordan Love's counting numbers, so to speak, could be chalked up largely to wide receiver performance and drop passes and things of that sort. Did you think Jordan Love regressed last year, or are you more on the same page with Warren Sharp?
Not only am I on the same page with Warren Sharp here, I'm going to add more caveats to his physical performance. Keep in mind, he basically played the entire first half of that season with a significant lower body injury and was never fully healthy after the Packers came out of their bye, but certainly was closer to it at that point. And that's when you saw something closer to that late 2023 Jordan Love. You know, after the Packers came out of the bye and after Love was able to move around something closer to what we expect, you know, he did look like that quarterback for large stretches. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, but he did not throw an interception or maybe threw one interception over the last however many regular season games, but was able to throw something close to the touchdown total that he did over the same number of games the previous regular season. So when he finally got healthy, at least in some areas, he looked a lot like the player he had been during that playoff run or push for the playoffs in 2023. Then you throw in all those things that you mentioned from Warren Sharp, the receiver mistakes, and also there were some offensive line issues. Even if the group, you know, overall played very well, there were still issues at various points throughout the season. And you take all that and put it together and say, yeah, this actually explains why Jordan Love's total production might not have matched what he did in 2023, but they're not necessarily reasons to say that he has regressed. There are areas in which he was slightly better in 2024 than 2023 as well. I think the composite that he was probably a pretty similar player, and we just only saw that for a smaller window when he was not fully healthy, but healthy enough. And going into this year, you know, he's presumably fully healthy. The receivers have a little more firepower, at least on paper, than they did a year ago. And there have been additions, meaningful additions, to the offensive line. Put all that together, and there's reason to believe that this could actually be a bigger year, at least in terms of the efficiency numbers and the production numbers as well, if he's able to stay healthy. And, you know, if you're the Packers, you're coming off a year where you had a top 10 offense by DVOA and a lot of the other advanced metrics. If you're going to get a better version of Jordan Love, a better version of various parts of that offense, well, then you don't have to worry as much about some of the holes on defense. If it's even somewhat like it was a year ago, that's a team that could do much more than they did in the playoffs. That's a team that could potentially make a Super Bowl run.
Aaron Rodgers, it was announced yesterday, is returning to the NFL. I guess he never left the NFL, but is signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers and will face the Packers in primetime, Sunday Night Football, October 26th. Jason Hirschhorn, either as a football fan or as somebody who covers the Packers, how much does this move the needle for you? Do you even care what Aaron Rodgers does or where he's doing it at this point?
I think his arrival in Pittsburgh is interesting for a lot of things going on in the AFC North and the conference as a whole. For the Packers, I don't know that it makes that much of a difference. Obviously, it's going to matter from a storyline perspective that Aaron Rodgers is going to play his former team. The Packers are the only team in the NFL that he has not notched a win against, for obvious reasons.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah, if the Steelers are to win that game and he's the starting quarterback, he will have become, I think, the fifth quarterback in NFL history to beat all 32 of the current franchises. So, yeah, from a storyline perspective, it's meaningful, but I don't think that really changes the way that the Packers are going to approach that game. Like, this isn't like they went from the worst quarterback in the league to a guy who's still competing for MVP awards. Now, Aaron Rodgers is probably better, and meaningfully so, than Mason Rudolph, the guy who was otherwise going to start for them. But I don't think that takes their offense from being something that was likely to be more pedestrian to something that's going to be, you know, a world beater. It's probably the case that it's going to be a version of the Steelers that we've seen the past few years, a team that's going to try to play ball control offense and try to beat you on defense. And Aaron Rodgers has nothing to do with what that defense does or doesn't do on the field. So I don't think that on the field it's going to make that much of a difference, even if it's going to be, you know, the A block of every TV and radio show that week.
That's Jason Hirschhorn. He is the founder of The Leap, the Packers newsletter. You can follow him on Twitter and get a link to The Leap at @by_JBH. And my guest for the last few minutes here on the Green and Gold Update. Jason, really appreciate the time and the insight, man. Great stuff.
Happy to talk to you, Rami.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.